Well, good morning, church. Oh, I'm excited this morning. I'm always excited. Always excited when the Word of God is about to be released and released and transferred through this amazing technology that we have called live stream. Hallelujah. It's a new thing. I don't think it is new to many, but to us as a church, it's a new thing. But it's actually doing a wonderful job at the moment. We are able to reach you right there in your lounge room this morning. Today, I've got Brother Roger with me, and I just sense something in the spirit of God that I've asked him to come and blow the shofar this morning. Because as you know, we've had a bit of relaxation on our lockdowns, and we're able to gather together, and I just wanted him to come, because as we were praying together on Saturday morning in the church, I just felt the urge and the sense in the spirit, something powerful was happening. Something was starting to birth inside the spirit. I know that something is happening, particularly for what this church is all about. I'm not talking about a lot of other churches, but I believe, as a pastor of this church, that I believe in the prophetic. I believe in the direction and the instructions that God has actually given me through like-minded men of God that we've connected together. And I'm just excited about that. So I want to say something, because in this season that we're living in right now, before I ask Brother Roger to blow the shofar, Passover has passed, and we're living between Passover and the day of Pentecost. Oh, hallelujah. I'm excited about that. And in between that time, what do we do? I think for us as a church and as the regenerated believers of God, I believe that we have a time of repentance, a time to reset, a time to recover, and a time to restore. You know, this morning I received that from a brother, and I thought, wow, that is exactly what I was preparing for the church this morning. And I didn't have a title of the message. Then I got a message to encourage me and said, this is a day we're living now between the day of the Passover and the day of the Pentecost. And I thought, in between the time, there was a time of repentance. There was a time of resetting our mindset. There's a time of recovering, and there's a time to recover and restore everything that God is about to do in the church. So I was excited about the title of the message, and that's really what the title of the message is this morning. I prepared a message without a title, because I felt God was birthing something inside of me, and I thought, you know what, I'll forget about the title. I'll just go with what God is showing me, and then later on, the title will come. This morning, it came. Hallelujah. So I want to ask my brother, I want you to be in your lounge room this morning. Close your eyes. Lift your hands towards the heavens this morning as Roger blows the shofar. To usher in this time that we're living in. It's a new day created by God. It's a new day in the spirit. It's a time to repent, to look at our inside of our hearts, and to reset, to recover, and time to restore everything that God is done and purpose for us this morning. Hallelujah. Brother Roger, please. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Pastor Ben. Thank you. I'll just blow this. There's an anointing with it sometimes, so just receive.
Thank you, God, for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing that breaks every yoke. Today, it is a new day. Today, we've just ushered in something in the Spirit. Lord, we are people of faith, and we walk by faith, and we walk in the Spirit. And so I thank you, God, for the confirmation in so many regenerated men of God, believers, people that are walking together in one mind, one set, one mindset, and one soul, one spirit, in one accord. Father, to be able to do what we do today. So I release that right now. This presence, your presence, go through this live stream, touching every heart of men, every man, women, and children. Those who are searching this morning, Father, let them find you this morning through what has been released upon them. Father, And as we prepare the word, oh God, let your word go forth. Let your word accomplish every purpose that it has. Lord, that you have purposed it to do, that it shall not come back void, but it shall accomplish everything that you have purposed for it. I pray, watch over your word now to fulfill it. Anoint your word. Breathe over your word, oh God. Holy Spirit, give it life as it is already life, Lord. And let it go forth in the hearts of our people this morning. I pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Roger. Hallelujah. Well, welcome everybody. Welcome those that are watching in New Zealand, the families in New Zealand, all the families in Fiji, Bula Vinaka. Bula, Bula, Bula. Thank you for watching this morning. Thank you for following us. I believe that God has allowed you to be with us for a purpose and for a reason. And everything that God does is up to Him. All we have to do is just be in obedience to His word. Be in obedience to everything that He wants us to do. Obedience, I always say, is the greatest protection over the works of the enemy. Amen. Hallelujah. And welcome those that are watching in Cairns this morning and all over the world this morning, wherever you are. We want to say welcome to you. Bless you. Relax. Let the word of God touch you. Let the word of God restore you. Let the word of God reset you. Let the word of God have some amazing, powerful restoration in your life. Hallelujah. This is a new day. This is a day we're living between the Passover and the day of Pentecost. I'm looking forward to the day of Pentecost. I think, according to time, it's the end of this month. And I'm excited about it. Hallelujah. So what do we do? Well, I will be releasing what we're about to do right now through His word this morning. Hallelujah. We have a saying in PNG that, why live and ready to go to heaven? Why wait to go to heaven to experience everything that God has purposed for us here? Why not leave heaven on earth?
Amen.
Why not leave everything that is in heaven right here on earth? Why wait to go to heaven to experience heaven when you can experience heaven right here? Where you can actually leave heaven right here. That's why Jesus prayed. He said, when you pray, hallelujah, He says, pray that the Father's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Everything that happens in heaven, let it be happening here on earth as well. We as a church, we as a people of God, must leave heaven on earth. Hallelujah. There is no other way that people will understand Christ and understand the Bible and understand what church is all about, but looking at us as the kingdom of God people, people that are regenerated by the Spirit of God, born again, Spirit filled, the people that are called by His name, leaving heaven on earth. And you can do that right here. You don't have to wait to go to heaven. You know, you hear me say all the time that there's no time to be waiting to fly away. Time to change the tune of our song. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. Change that. This is the time to do the work of God. This is the time where the church must rise up. You know, I keep bringing that to you this morning. There are great messages that you can listen to this morning. You can go tune on to a live stream right now and watch a great message. But I'm excited about the prophetic. I'm excited about the instructions that God has given me as a pastor of this church. I am not interested in a great message. I'm interested in what God is showing me and what God is bringing us as a church. I am standing in front of you, recruiting the army of God, calling the Jeremiahs, calling the Isaiahs, calling the Ezekiels, calling the Pauls, the Joshuas, calling those guys in, because the church is a place where these people are birthed in. You don't find people in Bible college that are called to be in the place of God, in the purpose of God. Unfortunately, but I'll get to that in a second. Whatever that is normal in heaven has to manifest itself here on earth. Signs and wonders, let me say that again. Signs and wonders, the events of heaven. We call it supernatural because of our ability to receive it and accept it. But in God, that's natural. In the kingdom of God, signs and wonders are natural. That's why Jesus never preached prosperity. Jesus never preached healing. Jesus never preached any other gospel except the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. When he arrived, his first statement was, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, or is here. I'm here right now. He is the door to the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. That is why the Bible says the kingdom of God does not come with what? Observations, Nor will they say, see here or see there. For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. Right in you. Miracles are simply evidence that the kingdom of God has arrived. So preach the kingdom of God. Don't go running after the signs and miracles. Preach what God has called you to preach. And those signs and wonders will follow you. That is why Jesus never preached those things. All those things are manifestation of themselves when we seek the kingdom of God. That is why in Mark chapter 16, verse 17, it says, and these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. That is why your priority, my friends, as the citizens of the kingdom of God, this is my introduction to the message, by the way. Your priority is to seek his kingdom first and his righteousness. Nothing else. His kingdom and his righteousness. And all that you desire, including your healing, including your provision, including everything that you desire, it says, will come after you. It will come after you after you've seeked his righteousness and his kingdom. And that is all we must desire as a church this morning. Everything that you desire shall be what added unto you when you seek after his kingdom and his righteousness. That is your priority. Nothing else is your priority except that. Hallelujah. God knows what you need. God understands the situation you're going through right now. But he says, go seek my kingdom. Seek my righteousness first. And all that is part of the manifestation of the kingdom of God. That'll follow you. Hallelujah. There's some great messages coming out from live stream all over the world right now. Great teachings that you can sit under and great word that you can pick one up and watch it right now. But I am more excited about the prophetic instructions that God has given to us as a church. Ever since I've been on this path, I haven't changed. And I've said to you that I will only change when the Holy Spirit says change. But right now, I am in the recruiting path for men and women of God who will stand up. Because the time is now that is so needed of people to rise up. Hallelujah. I can go away from what the Holy Spirit has been imparting in my spirit. And the challenges and the responsibilities to stay in the cause. About preparing the church, about getting the church ready, about getting the church fired up, and getting the church back to its original position and place. Nehemiah never knew the glory of Jerusalem. He heard about that. But what changed this man was the passion and the cry inside his heart to actually stand up and say, I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to do something about this. I have not seen the glory of God, or I have not seen the glory of Jerusalem, but I'm going to go and do something so that I and my generation will be able to see, will be able to receive, will be able to understand the former glory of Jerusalem, the former glory of the church of the Pentecost, the former glory of the church of the book of Acts comes when people like that stand up and become like Nehemiah and pray. Hallelujah. I can't go away from what God is bringing me. Why? Because I am from the old school. I am from the school of the Holy Spirit. That's what I believe in. I've seen so many things happen when the presence and the power of God is involved, when the Holy Spirit is involved in the church. I was a Catholic boy, my friends. I used to go and confess sins to a priest. I used to confess the same sins, keep all the bad sins away, and confess the same ones that is just nice so that I can talk to the priest. If there ever was a nice sin, I was the one that was confessing it. Hallelujah. Until I met the Spirit of the Holy God. Hallelujah. I had my Damascus experience just like Paul had. I didn't listen to a sermon and got saved. I met the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. I had an experience with the Spirit of God that transformed me forever. Never again will I be the same person ever again. Hallelujah. And I'm speaking this morning to some of you that are watching this morning that are searching for that. God says, if you seek me, you will find me. Start your searching this morning. Let your search end this morning to receive Christ in your life. Until I had my Damascus experience, I never heard a sermon like that preached on that night. But the sermon came with the power. Hallelujah. And I received that. You know, last night I was sharing with my son. I just want to share this testimony before I move on to my message. One of my second boy, and you probably all know him, and I'm not going to mention the words. I'll mention his name, sorry. And I had a wonderful father-to-son talk with him, a really heart-to-heart connection, which I've never ever done. Because he lives away from us, and he's away, and he's got his own family. But ever since I raised him, he's always respected me. He's always also had this fear, not a terrible fear, but it's a fear of, I guess, of respect and honor. And I've never had a direct conversation with him like what we did on the weekend. And I always get the second-hand news from his mother all the time. I said to my son, and he's always saying, I didn't want to come to see you because I was a bit afraid that you might get upset. I said to him, son, that man, the father that you know 30 or so years ago, the father that you know 3 years ago ceased to exist. That father doesn't exist anymore. The person and sitting down here talking to you is a new dad. Hallelujah. I said that and I told him, because I don't have the platform or the luxury to have carry grudges and hatred and disappointments and all that. I don't have that. God said, kill your giants before you get on this pulpit and preach. Giants must die before you can stand here and preach. And I said to my son, that man died 3 years ago. You're talking to a new man now. You're talking to the new dad. In other words, according to God, I have been what? Crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I encouraged him. And I said to him, son, I need you to complete this mission with me in the kingdom. He said, Dad, I'm with you. I saw a change in my son that I've never seen before. Never in my life, when I raised this boy, have I seen a change in him. There was a total change inside him. I actually asked him to forgive me. I said, son, in my zeal to raise you, I may have said words that were not right. I may have said things and did things that were not right as a father. But I said, forgive me. I ask you to forgive me. And then I spoke the prayer of God. Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 to 26. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance towards you and give you peace. Hallelujah. That change. I see a different boy that I've raised for all these years. Why am I saying this to you this morning, church? Why am I testifying to you this morning with this story? Because I want the church, every man and woman of God, to be men and women of principle. Principles of the Word of God. I desire to see the fire of God in the church. And the only way I know that we will see it when the vessel is clean and ready. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart. You want to see God. You want to see God move. Clean the vessel up. Get the vessel prepared for him. You will see God when you walk in purity and in righteousness and in holiness. Nowhere else can you do that except through there. Every man that God calls to walk before him says, come and walk blameless before me. First, number one rule is this, come and walk before me. I'm looking forward to the coming together to worship, praying again. God reassured me something that the church must get back into it. Prayer, praise, and worship. And the irony of this is that we started to do that and the lockdown came. And we didn't get a chance to do that. But when the moment comes when we get back together, we're going to raise the standard of our prayer and our praise and worship and create something in God that people will start to see. People will start to see something happening. And it doesn't start when the vessel is clean. When we walk in purity of heart before God and before each other. There's no other way you can see God except through that. The Holy Spirit do not operate in an unclean vessel. The Holy Spirit works through the vessel that is clean. You see the power of God happens when you are clean. When you walk in holiness and righteousness and pure. There's nothing between you or another man or between anybody else. Everything is pure. Your heart is guarded by his word. Your heart is ready to move and operate whenever the Spirit moves. Hallelujah. Yesterday I felt it again when I came to pray in the building. And that's why I asked Roger to come and blow the shofar this morning. praying alone, pray together, pray, whatever that God, that situation that you have, pray that we don't become an electronic church just walking like this. The Old Testament church was an electronic church. They were an electrifying church. Hallelujah. They were on fire for God. Why? Because the Holy Spirit was inside. The Holy Spirit was operating. There's no agenda or programs. It was just the Holy Ghost moving in the lives of those men. And they waited. And they prayed. And they stayed together. And they repented of everything that was not right before in amongst them. And then the Holy Spirit moved. Hallelujah. The New Testament church is on fire for God and should be on fire for God. And I keep saying that every time. Let's get back to the blueprint. Let's get back to where we're supposed to be. And the only way we can do that is go back into our place of prayer. And that, my friends, is the only qualification to receive the fire of God and to start to move in the things of God is to keep in your hearts pure every day. And it starts in your house. And then it goes in the house of God. Why? Because the judgment starts in the house of God. When God starts the judgment, it starts in the house of God. Acts chapter 15, verse 8 to 9. It says, so God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. I'll be talking about faith later on through this message this morning. God did not send a messenger to Caesar, my friends. God did not send a messenger to the Bless Me Club of the Pharisees. God met a man in the road to Damascus. He himself left the throne and came down to meet a man. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 5. Because why? Because the man was hungry for God. Matthew chapter 5 and 6 says, Jesus said, blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be what? Satisfied. In other translations, he said, they shall be what? Filled. When you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you shall be filled. God is looking for people that are hungry. God need to go and visit some church and hold the sermon in the church or stop an activity in the church to bring the word to somebody. He met someone. And that someone was hungry. In the midst of how many thousands and millions of people, God met somebody who was hungry for God. Somebody was zealous. And the man was zealous for the wrong things. God says, I don't care. That will change. But I need that kind of passion. And I need that kind of anger. And if I can get that out of this man, I will change him. And when you become hungry in God and thirst for righteousness in God, God is going to use you. Whatever that you have come from, he will clean it up, he will change you, and he will use you. Why? Because the passion and hunger is for what he needs this morning. Paul was zealous and hungry for what he believed in. God saw the hunger. God got hold of him and imputed truth and made him thirst for righteousness. Paul fasted and prayed for 3 days. And something changed in him. I keep going back to Paul. I keep using the man as an example. Why? Because he is the perfect representation of the Gentile church, of the church you and I are right now in. He's the man that was the apostle, the great apostle to the Gentiles. Preaching does not scare the devil, my friends. Prayer does. When you're a man of prayer, like Paul, when you're a man of prayer, like Elijah, oh, the devil fears you more. The devil fears praying. The devil doesn't fear preaching. Devil doesn't fear sharing the gospel. The devil fear a man that prays. A man that connects to God and walks with God. Hallelujah. Listen, the Almighty God changed the life of a blood-stained murderer. Changed him. He was a serial killer. God changed him. If the Almighty God can hear Paul's prayer, how much more will he not listen to your prayer? Will he not listen to your cry of repentance? Will he not listen to your cry of passion for the lost? Will he not listen to the cry of your zeal to serve him? How much more? Hallelujah. I was on a searching journey for God because I couldn't find him in the church, in the Catholic church that I was in. I'm sorry, I have to say it, and I said it. I couldn't find him because they were like the Pharisees. They hid everything from us. They themselves cannot get him. They hide everything from you. So I'm talking to you this morning. If you're searching, then you have found him this morning. Let him speak to you this morning. Let the power of the Holy Spirit come through this live stream right now and touch you as you're listening to the word this morning. Hallelujah. Prayer dismantles the power of darkness before anything else. Prayer dismantles the power of the devil before I get here and preach. Prayer dismantles every scheme and plans of the devil before you can come up and do anything in God. Before you can do anything in God, pray. Pray. Bring it before the throne room of God and pray. Hallelujah. Because your battle, hallelujah, and we keep saying that all the time, is not against what? Flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers of high places. Prayer sets the trap for the enemy. Every time you pray, you're setting a trap for the enemy. Jesus said, blessed, chapter 5, verse 6. I'm going back to, I'm using the Beatitudes as I'm going along, if you know that. Matthew chapter 5, verse 3 says, blessed are the poor in the spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Prayer is the language of those who are hungry in spirit. Listen to some of the prayers of men of God that have been praying. Something that you and I must learn from. Because the self-sufficient do not see the need to pray. Those who have many things do not see the need to pray. The self-righteous and the self-satisfied do not see the need to pray. A prayer is for the poor in the spirit. Listen to David. David was the greatest king that Israel ever had. The Bible says that. And the man slayed giants and killed bears and won many wars. But listen to his prayer. Listen to this warrior's prayer. Psalm 86, verse 1. A principle. He says, bow down your ear, O Lord. Hear me, for I am poor and needy. Psalm 34, verse 6. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. This is the prayer of the greatest king of Israel. He wasn't talking about his possession. The man had everything. He was a king. He was ruling a nation. He had everything, but he was poor in the spirit. So when he came to pray, he says, God, bow down your ear, O Lord. Hear me, for I am what? Poor in the spirit. Blessed are those that are poor in the spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. This is something that you and I must understand. Don't blubber on about God to God like it was some kind of a supermarket. Don't use God as a vending machine or a poker machine that you put something in there expecting something back. No. Hallelujah. Pray to God because He is God. He said, I am. I am who I am the God that created heaven and earth. Pray to Him because He is God. Pray because you are asking God that He be able to use you. Don't go out asking for God for everything. God is not your supermarket. God is not your cold supermarket or Woolworths supermarket. He is not a vending or poker machine that you put $10 in and expect $50. God is not that. Understand the principles of this man of prayer. Understand who these guys are. When I spoke about Elijah, when he prayed, he didn't pray for the fire. He prayed and honored God. He prayed, says, God, you are God and I'm your servant. Show them. That's the kind of prayer that you and I should have in our house, in our family, in a time when you go into that place I call the University of Silence. Hallelujah. Where John the Baptist came out of, where Elijah came out of, where Paul came out of. That's where God wants us, in the place of prayer. He wasn't talking about his possession. He wasn't talking about worldly needs. He was poor in the spirit. And he acknowledged that to God. And God says, that you are the man after my own heart. Hallelujah. What is God saying here this morning? What is the principle to learn here this morning? I'll tell you the principle. Stop waving your master's degree in theology. Stop waving your pastor's credentials. Stop waving all that thing. Stop waving, I've built this church and I built that church and I preached in all this world. Stop waving that and humble yourself before God. If the church can move on, we should stop waving our degrees, waving our credentials. Bow down before God. The Bible says, if my people were called by my name, humble themselves, seek my face and pray. Nothing else, nothing more, nothing less, nothing more. Stop trying to promote yourself in your ministry. Stop arguing and stop complaining and stop murmuring. Pray like David prayed. God, I am poor in spirit. All my theology certificates and credentials as a pastor, and how many years I've pastored a church, that means nothing. I am poor in spirit. Go to God, poor in spirit every time. I know nothing about running a church. I ask God for wisdom every day. God, give me wisdom to run this church. Give me wisdom to speak to people. Give me wisdom to do all that. Because I don't know anything. And every time I do that, God does something. Because the moment I said, God, I don't know anything, God says, good, now I can do what I have to do through you, because you are just a vessel that I needed. You are a voice that I needed to speak. God is looking for those people right now, this morning. And if you're one of them sitting in your lounge room this morning, then you are the one that God is speaking to. The Holy Spirit is going to move in your life this morning. Hallelujah. Shut up. Keep quiet. Humble yourself. Go into your university of silence. Pray and seek God. And start to hear from God. Sometimes stop talking and just hear. Listen, go into the university of silence, meditate on the word and listen. You don't have to talk too much. God knows. God knows even before you ask. He knows everything about you. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Humble ourselves and pray and seek our face. Seek his face. That's all, my friends. He didn't say, if you humble yourself and seek after me for all that you need. No, he says, seek my face. Seek my righteousness. Come after my holiness. Come after my purity. Come because I am God, nothing else. Come. That's the kind of prayer that you and I should be praying. And when you pray like that, my friends, I'm telling you, you watch the church start to change. You watch the church, you watch your family start to change. You watch everything start to change. Rachel's cried out and says, give me children or I will die. That's the kind of prayer that changed the hearts of God, the heart of man. Rachel, Anna had looking for a baby for years, designed for a baby for years. God locked up her womb. But when the baby came, it was a baby with a purpose. If you are in that place right now, God is going to do something. You are carrying something that God needs. I'm not talking about just babies. I'm talking about vision. I'm talking about something that God has already purposed for you. Blessed are the poor in the spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Where is the kingdom of God? Jesus said the kingdom of God is where? Within you. The kingdom of God lives in you. The kingdom of God operates right now. What is the kingdom of heaven? Romans chapter 14 verse 17 says, let's all read aloud this scripture. You ready? Go. Verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not what? Eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. What is the Holy Spirit? What is inside the Holy Spirit? Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, verse 20 to 23. Read aloud. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. The fruit of the Spirit protects your gifts. Our constitution tells us this. Where is your constitution? Right here. Let me read what it says in our constitution. In section 1 Corinthians, subsection 13, article 1 to 3. For you religious people, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 to 3. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, gifts, but have no love, fruits, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understanding of all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, all gifts, all the things that mention gifts, so that I could remove mountains and have not love, fruits, and though I bestow all goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. God will give you gifts. And when it has been misused, he will remove the anointing on it. Remember the story of Saul, King Saul. Remember those things when you start waving your pastoral credentials and all that before men. God is wanting humility in the church. Starting from the leadership, starting from those of us who are leading the church. Humility brings the presence of God. Humbleness. That's all God needs. Claim to know nothing. I don't know anything more about the Bible, only what the Holy Spirit guides me and leads me. I don't claim to know all scriptures, only what the Holy Spirit gives me and prepares me for. I don't sit down and argue scriptures and wasting my time. We've got work to do. There's work to be done. Don't sit around and talk about things that are just wasting your time. And ye pastors, when the anointing is removed, then pastors start to use gimmicks in church. And you're seeing it happening in those televised churches that we're watching all over the world today. Using gimmicks, text messages, and mobile phones to create the presence of God when the anointing is already left. Dangerous place to be, my friends. So be careful who you're watching and who you're following this morning. Read your Bible for yourself. Go back to the Word of God and read it for yourself. Ask questions. Don't just follow anybody that's speaking a great message to you this morning. Hallelujah. Therefore, what do? We pray. Less worldly, we become less worldly when we pray. We become more closer to God when we pray. Friends and family, listen to me. Life as we know it has now changed forever. The virus and the plague is the pivotal point of change. How we see the world now is totally different now. Now we must see the world according to the kingdom of God, according to how God wants us to live, according to how God wants to look at Him for provision, according to how our faith is going to rise up. Our outlook now in the world is different. That virus has changed everything. The church now must shift to the place where God wants it to be. Time is running out, my friends. Our liberties will be gone. Soon there will be no privacy. It is time for the kingdom of God to really rise and shine. This message today is to stay you up. I haven't been preaching any message to make you feel happy. I have been challenging you with the word of God and the prophetic instructions that has been given to me to move the church to where it's supposed to be. Who is the church? You, my friends, sitting in that room this morning. You are the church. And that is why this word is coming to you this morning. Wherever you're watching, wherever in the world, hallelujah, that is the word. Time is running out. That is why God is going to raise the standard. And when we come together to pray and worship again, oh, hallelujah, I'm looking forward to that. We came and prayed in the church because I just sensed the need to come and pray. And I felt the same presence of God that everybody else in that room felt. And we sang hymns to God, hallelujah. And we prayed like Silas and Paul prayed in the jail that day. And I went home and I'm thinking, God, more of that, more of that. Prayer, praise, and worship. When we come back, our prayer focus will change. We're going to pray for something different. Hallelujah. Why? My friends, we have clapped hands long enough. We've danced long enough. Now when we come back to church, it's time to take the war, the battle to the enemy. It's time to take the battle to the principalities and powers of high places. How? Prayer, my friends. Prayer. Come together. This church must become a church of prayer. Prayer must be our first thing that we do inside this church. And our life must be just people of prayer. And let God see what God is going to do when you become a man like that and a woman like that, that knows how to pray, that knows how to tune in, knows how to use the keys, the authority that God has already given us. We have keys. Some of the keys that we don't even know which door it fits into because we haven't actually asked God what those keys are meant for. That's why I keep bringing principles to you every time about using it, using it. We have feasted long enough, my friends. Prayer, breakfast, and all that stuff. Feasted long enough. Time to fast. Time to come and fast. Time to church to forget all the programs, forget all the other prayer, breakfast, and all the other stuff. I don't condemn all that. That's good. But for me, I don't say, look, I saw the former glory of the move of God, and I want to see it. I'm not here to become just another church sitting here and having breakfast and talking. No, my friends. This is not the time for it. We are not in the season for it. The church must rise up. Hallelujah. If the Bible is the infallible and the indestructible word of God. Therefore, the church must wield the sword. The church must, if you believe that this is the Bible, this is the word of God, the infallible word of God, the indestructible word of God, then you wield this word. You wield this sword. You use the word. Hallelujah. Romans 8, chapter 18, verse 20. He says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be what? Revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who is subjected in hope." The whole world is watching. Eagerly waits, earnest expectation for the revealing of the sons and daughters of God. All the animals that walk with Adam in the garden, all the insects, all creation, it says, not just human beings, all creation, the trees, the rocks, the stones, everything, waiting, eagerly waiting, expecting for the revealing of the true sons and daughters of God. Sons meaning the spirit that lives inside of you. The revealing of that comes true. This present day, it is like a huge arena right now. It's like people, every skeptic, every atheist, every godless man and woman, every person that the haters of the gospel, every one of them have paid their tickets into this arena waiting for what the church can do. Very, very thing that is happening. They're patronizing the church. They're talking about the persecution hasn't come, but the patronizing has come. The bullying has come. What is the church doing about it? What are the true church of God doing about it? Do we believe that this is the word of God? Are we prepared to stand on this word? Are we prepared to come in prayer and seek his face, humble ourselves, and let him do everything that he already promised to do? Because he's trying to reach the world, and men are always in the way. With everything. We've got every equipment available to us to use God to reach the world. Yet, the world is not being reached like the way we're supposed to reach it. Yet the church has gone to sleep. I keep talking about it all the time. I've been a pastor of this church for three years now. I am not about to pastor this church for another 10 years, going through the same thing, going through the rotation, chasing our tails. No, we're going to make some difference here. We're going to create something that has never been created before. And that comes when people are passionate and hungry for the things of God. I cannot do it myself. I need the people of God to do it. And I'm challenging you and encouraging you this morning. I'm not here to preach some good messages to tickle your ears and make you feel nice in your comfortable lounge chairs this morning. My friends, I am challenging you this morning. You have to be challenged this morning. They're all waiting. They're all mocking the church. They're all saying there's no God. It is like everybody's saying in 1 Samuel, when I was reading the story of Anna, in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 5 to 7, the story of Anna, it gave me a picture of the church. Let me just read the scripture to you. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 5 to 7. But to Hannah, he would give a double portion. That's a promise of God. For he loved her, even though the Lord had what? Closed her womb. Excuse me. Verse 6 says, because of the Lord had closed Hannah's womb, a rival would provoke her and taunt her severely. It is like the church. The church is birthed, is pregnant with something, but yet they're mocking us. They're talking against us. When I read that, I thought, wow, that is so much like the church. Lord, what are you saying? And this went on for years, year after year. Whenever Anna went up to the house of the Lord, a rival taunted her until she wept and would not eat. That's exactly what the world is doing to the church. They're patronizing the church. And soon, when persecution comes, the church must rise up. See, when they patronize the church goes into a wall. They back themselves against the wall. Hallelujah. The church has the power, the fire, most amazing power in the world is in the church. I see this picture of the church. The church is being patronized and provoked by the world to the point where the church is fearful. And everyone just wants to what? Fly away, oh glory. Fly away. When patronizing comes, you start singing songs like that. I am telling you right now, do not live for rapture. Do not look forward to rapture. Rapture is your escape, but you don't have the escape mentality in your mind. You have a work to be done. The moment you're alive, sitting here, breathing, healthy, you are carrying His presence, and He needs you to complete His mission. I am serious. I keep telling you this all the time. This is not time for us to be playing church. Time for playing church is over. Verse 6 says, and a rival would provoke her and taunt her severely. It is like Goliath calling out, taunting the army of Israel. Why are you lining up for battle? He says, choose your best soldier and come and fight me. That's what the world is saying to us this morning, church. What do we do? The church as Samuel's in it. The church as David's in it. The church as Elijah's in it. The church as Paul's in it. Unfortunately, you don't find those kind of people in the Bible college. You find them in the church. Those are the guys that are birthed in church, in the spirit, in the place of prayer. Those men were birthed in prayer. They had a purpose in God. God birthed them, purposed them. Jeremiah 1:5 says, I knew you before you were in your mother's womb. Therefore, He knows your purpose. And when you were born for that. Find your purpose and serve your gift to God this morning. Men like Daniel and Joseph serve their gifts to the nation that transform and change the nation. What is the church doing? Are we sitting around waiting to fly away? There's millions and millions of people getting saved every day. What are we doing? What are we teaching them? What are we showing them? What are we telling them? To just hang around and fly away? Or to get up and go into the place of prayer? Study the Word of God. Let the Holy Spirit do everything that He purposed to do for you. Unfortunately, the Bible is rationalized in Bible college, in seminaries, in places. It's rationalized. Now we rationalize the Word of God. A church that sits down and discusses homosexuality, that's not a church. What God calls a sin and we sit around and discuss it, that's not a church. That's not a church that God said, I will build my church and not gates of hell shall prevail. That's not a church. And that's not saying anything against anybody. That's just quoting what the Bible says. A church must rise up. There is a collective power in church, and we need to activate it. And there are steps that we need to do that. And I know the four steps. It's old school four steps. It belongs to the apostles. It belongs to the blueprint that the apostles had. Number one, what? Renown. All sin, renounce all sin, renounce idolatry, renounce hidden sin, live clean lives, live righteous. Why? Soil ants cannot do the things of God. Soil ants cannot plunder the resources of God. Only clean hands and pure heart. I keep saying that, and I keep saying it, and I will keep saying it. Number two, walk what? In humility. Admit that we have failed so much that we have been satisfied so long. We are satisfied about things that are wrong. With the norm. This norm thing. The status quo. Are we just happy with that? Let's just not change anything. Number three, seeking God's face in earnest prayer. The fervent prayer of a righteous man, what? Avails much. Number four, study the Word of God and uncover the promises and the principles that are inside. The blueprints are in here, needed for the season and for the time to move the church forward in the new season that we're in. I told you before, the church is not the same anymore. The church has changed. The pivotal point was when the disease came in. Now we know, everybody knows their mortality, but the church must know the immortality, hallelujah, because your life lives beyond the grave. It transcends beyond the grave. The kingdom of God transcends beyond all that. There's nothing to fear. You live in Christ, you die in Christ. Paul understood that revelation and he fired himself up and completed the mission. Unmovable faith will move the church. Faith is the muscle that moves things, but the Word of God gives it that power. The word comes with the power and moves things forward. And the word of God gives the power to the faith that you and I have. John chapter 5 verse 14, or 1 John chapter 5 verse 14 to 15. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever he asks, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Faith honors God, and God honors faith. He goes wherever faith puts him. And its sole desire of faith is to see the glory of God. The glory of God comes in, and he gets all the glory, not men. He gets the glory. Every human being has a natural faith. There's two kinds of faith. A natural faith. A natural faith caused people to climb Mount Everest. A natural faith caused people to go down the deepest oceans in the world. A natural faith moves people to put men in the moon and discover space. These are all natural faith. But the spiritual faith must be transferred from your mind to your heart into your will. Spiritual faith connects the will of God to your will. That's what spiritual faith is. It's not about your own will. Physical or natural faith is about your own will. Go and do your own thing. Discover something, achieve something in your own will. But spiritual faith connects your will to the Father, the will of the Father. And everything we do for his will and nothing else. That his will, his purpose and his intent will be complete on this earth. One great value of reading the Word of God, the Bible, is that it is faith-feeding. You build your faith up when you read the Word of God. Listen to what the Word says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. It says, so then faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Notice that it does not say that faith cometh by reading, or faith cometh by seeing. Faith comes by what? Hearing. Your soul, when you go into a place of prayer, reading the Word, your soul begin to have eyes, and you see beyond. Galatians chapter 5, chapter 3, verse 5 says, therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? That is why Jesus said, he who has ears, let him hear. You hear in the Spirit. And only people that have ears and ear will hear messages like that and say, I want to get into this. I want to be the one that God is doing today. I want to be the one calling, said, God, use me. And I don't be the one that's saying it ignorantly or arrogantly, but I want to say, God, use me. Every way you can, put my hands up to be used. For the Spirit speaks to the inner ear of the heart. The Word of God is in your head. You see, the Word of God in your head does nothing until it's been moved from your head to your heart, to your subconscious mind. That's where everything happens. When it sits in there, then you are able to get up and do it. Faith comes from there. Faith moves into the heart. In here, it doesn't do anything. It's just head knowledge. Until you move it to your heart, and then your feet starts to move. And then action starts to come from there. In the place of prayer, the soul has ears to hear. The soul has eyes to see. When making a request to God, the first thing we have to be sure of is our relationship. I keep talking about that. Our relationship is right with God, because your relationship is right with the Father, and the Holy Spirit is the witness to it. We are convinced by the Spirit that we are blood related to God through the blood of Jesus. Listen, Jesus came to put the Spirit back into the Word, back into his Word. There is no such thing as blind faith. Why? You have this book that guides you. That is not blind faith. You're not following, groping in the dark blindly. You have instructions right here, how to live your life, how to move in faith. Everything is in this book. There's no such thing as blind faith. It is the infallible, indestructible Word of God. The Holy Spirit acts on the Word, and the Word comes alive. It says, who also made us what? Sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. Listen to me, my friends. If ever there was a time to put on the full armor of God, now is the time. Because the evil day is coming. The evil day as we know it has come. The Bible says, when you put on armor of God, you stand against the evil day. It comes. If there is ever a time, the time is now. Because most Christians walk away with the helmet of salvation and nothing else. The helmet of salvation does nothing to protect you. You're sitting dark for the enemy. Let me just read Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 18, the armor of God. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the full or the whole armor of God, not just one armor, not just one helmet of salvation, all armor, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the what? All armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day. My friends, the evil day has come, and there's no more time to be wasting around. Put on the full armor of God, and having done all, stand. Hallelujah. Stand your ground. Stand. Verse 14, stand therefore, having girded your waist with the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always, it says, with what? All prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Words like that. Perseverance, supplication, all. Not half of it, my friends. When you go into God, when you go for God, go full. Not half-heartedly. I want to say, I'm going to close this message this morning by saying some things. I like saying things. I may get into trouble. Who cares? I say it. Because you need to hear it. What shall we say then? Paul always says that. What shall we say then? Everything has to be done God's way. Not our way. In Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6 it says, not by might, strength of armies, not by power, scientific know-how or your education, not but by my spirit, says the Lord. Just by his spirit. All your education, all your accolades, all your credentials, all of them, does nothing. It is the spirit of God. It's all about it's a power that comes from the Spirit of God. The world does not know the Spirit, my friends. The Spirit of God does not invade carnal hearts and carnal minds. The Spirit of God invades pure hearts and pure minds. Man and woman of God that walks in righteousness. Hallelujah. With the regenerated, born-again believers and his channel. Isaiah chapter 10 verse 27, it says, and it shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck. The yoke will be destroyed because of what? The anointing oil. Hallelujah. The anointing breaks every yoke. We need the anointing in our lives. We need the anointing. We cannot do anything without the anointing. I cannot stand here and preach to you without the anointing of God. It is his anointing that allows me to say what I have to say and do what he wants me to say and do what he wants me to do. His anointing does that. We need the anointing, the power from the high, the Pentecostal power, hallelujah. In how many days' time we're going to reach that day, the day of Pentecost, to shake the earth, shake the strongholds of hell, harass the devil and his powers, break the yoke from millions who are bound in superstition and occult practices, destroyed by drugs, enslaved by drink and pornography, lust. We need the anointing to break all that. And the church needs to rise up. The anointing power that we want, setting captives free. And it comes when we, church, get back into the world, the university of silence, place of prayer. Jesus is coming back for a bride, my friends. He's not coming back for a widow. He's not coming back from a sick church. He's not coming back for a sick widow church. He's coming back for a bride. He is worthy to receive all honor and all glory and power and forever and forever. Amen. Said it in your lounge room this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Friends, we are living in the time where the cup of iniquity is filling up rapidly. God lets man go so far and then he intervenes. And when the moment man starts to pump his chest and say, me, 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 and starts to be triumphing the things of man, then God intervenes and the writing comes on the wall. Listen, my friends, I don't want the writing comes on the wall for the church. We need to change. We need to do some serious change in our life, in our lifestyle as a church, and what we do as a church. God intervenes when man becomes triumphant in his own pride. God writes on the wall. Listen to me. Time for casual Christian walk is over. Time for walking in the church and backsliding, walking in backsliding, it's over. We are not in the season for that. Time for petty excuses must stop. Time to backslide must stop. Time to stay away from church must stop. The devil is a master and a craftsman of dividing and conquering. If he can separate you from fellowship, he'll take you. If he can do that to King David, if he can do that to Samson, if he can do that to this man, he can do it to you. So be careful. Don't say, oh, you know, I don't need to go to church. No, you need church. You need fellowship. You need to be around men and women of God that can pray with you, encourage you, walk with you, keep you in the path where God wants you to be, to complete your mission and your walk and your life in God. The devil is a master of that. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. It says, let us consider how to spur one another on to love good deeds. 25 says, let us not neglect meeting together, as some have made habits, and let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The day is approaching, my friends. If we deliberately go on sinning, it says, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no further sacrifice for sin remains. Listen, a writing will come on the wall in your life if you're a man and woman that knows Christ, understands grace, and continue to misuse it to sin. The writing will come on the wall. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 2 verse 4 to 5 says, or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? His grace and his kindness meant to lead you to repentance. If you're sitting here, you're sitting under God's grace. If you're not giving the heart to Christ, that's his grace. That's his goodness and kindness that allows you to still sit there and breathe, suck on his oxygen, eat his carrots, and then go against his will. But because of your hand and impenitent heart, you are stirring up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath, when God's righteousness judgment will be revealed. Have you ever had a message like that before in your church, my friends? This is the time to preach messages like this. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 to 10. But beloved, he says, do not forget this, that one thing, that with the Lord, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Listen to God's grace. Listen to his kindness and goodness. He's giving you time. And today, your time is up. Your time to walk into the kingdom of God is up. Don't wait there and see the writing on the wall. Because when the writing comes on the wall, there is no time, like Pastor Bill said, there's no time to go dust the dirt of your Bible and find some scripture that goes with this time you're living in. Hallelujah. When the writing comes on the wall, that is, God says, you are finished. Listen, this message is coming with the love from your pastor. It's coming from a man that loves you. It comes from a man that understands God's love and God's grace. Hallelujah. Take it into your heart this morning, if you're listening to it this morning. It is your time. Long suffering. He says, his promise and some, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long suffering. This is one of the fruits of the Spirit that you and I have. Long-suffering. God is long-suffering. He's looking at sin and he's long-suffering. He's waiting. That's the God that you and I serve. That's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Hallelujah. He's the one that has long-suffering for you. He's long-suffering toward us, not willing that they, any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I'm just closing my message today, and I'm just closing it with this word. Give your hearts to Jesus today, my friends. Be reconciled. Be recommit. The kingdom of heaven is here. And the only way into the kingdom of God is through Jesus Christ. There's no other way, my friends. He is the giver of life. He is the master of life. And there is no other way you can get life and life abundantly except through Christ Jesus. I'll say it again. Jesus said, no man can come to the Father except through me. Why? I am the door to the Father. I am the high priest. I am the mediator between you and the Father. And I stand here and I am the door. No man can come to the Father except through me. And he says, and then no man can come to me except when the Father leads him or the Holy Spirit brings him. My friends, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you this morning. If you have not given your heart to Jesus, he's talking to you this morning. If you're backslidden, living life that are compromised with one step, one leg in the world and one in the kingdom, that has to stop. That's an uncomfortable place to be in right now. Jesus said, I will spit out the lukewarm. I don't want to be a lukewarm, my friends. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Let me just encourage you with that, because I think I've thrown some fire at you right now. So let me just encourage you. The Bible consistently calls us to what? Encourage one another and build one another up. Did you know what I just did? I just built you up. I just encourage you to do the right thing with your life. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, we are to what? Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but such as is good for what? Building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Solomon was right, my friends. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but good word makes him what? Glad. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 24. Let me just read that again. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. Hallelujah. Speak good words of God to people. Corrupt talk. Stop corrupt talk in your mouth. Get your heart clean. Prepare for what God is about to do. Bible says that what? Exhort one another every day. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. Measuring people by popularity, performance, and possessions is nothing new. God knew that. Jesus knew that. Paul knew that. All this amazing man knew that. That's why Jesus said, oh, do you think I am God? Listen to me. I don't trust men. I don't trust you. I don't trust anybody. I trust God. Because you can be nice to me today and stone me tomorrow. That's a human nature of man. Let me just bring to you why I said what I said today. For example, the people lauded Moses when he led them out of Egypt in slavery. But when he said something, when the spies came back with the word that there are giants in the land, they nearly stoned the guy. When they couldn't find anything in the desert, they nearly stoned the guy. First they liked him. The next day they don't like him. The king of Babylon planned to set Daniel over the whole kingdom. Daniel chapter 6 verse 3. But soon threw him into the lion's den instead. Verse 16. A man's heart that's changed. We're coming to a world where men will hate you. Men will be people that you think they were your friends. Today, tomorrow, they're your enemies. Paul was lauded by the people of Lystra as God in Acts chapter 14 verse 11. Before his enemies persuaded them to reject and stone him. First thing they was being the guy. Applauding the guy. Next thing they want to throw stones at him. The crowds praised Jesus on Palm Sunday and rejected him on Good Friday. Can you see the picture of the world that we're living in and the nature of the hearts of men? Because fame is so fleeting and this world is so fallen. Don't rely on fame. Don't rely on your knowledge. Don't rely on your education. Don't rely on your performance. Don't rely on your accolades and everything that you've done. Don't rely on that. I don't trust men. I trust God. And I only listen to what God tells me. That's why I am set free from people. Nothing you think, your opinions against me or about me doesn't affect me. Why? I know who I am in Christ. I know where I came from. Jeremiah 1:5. Before I was born, He knew me. I know who I am in Christ, and I know where I'm going. Hallelujah. That's all you need to do. So don't let people's opinions pull you down. Don't let people think about you pull you down. Don't trust anybody. Trust God. Hallelujah. Friends, that's my message this morning. Let me just say something before I close. Let me just pray let's pray to God this morning. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, I want to say a long prayer. I want to say, Lord, you've already watched over your word to fulfill it in the lives of the people watching this morning. And I pray that your word will ignite the spirit. Your word will cause them, Lord, to move from wherever they are. That is not a place that you want them to be. But they will move to the place where you are able to reach them, oh God. Thank you, Father, that, Lord, cause them to be uncomfortable in the places they're in, Father. Make our lives uncomfortable and so that we can come seeking after you. Hallelujah. Father, I pray that prayer over the people this morning, and I thank you. If you have never given your heart to Christ, I want you to close your eyes this morning, lift your hands, bow your heads, and say and repeat this prayer after me. Hallelujah. Jesus said, only believe. If you believe that if you believe that He died on the cross for you, if you believe in this name, you shall be saved. Let's pray. Father God, I come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, I'm sorry for my sin and the way that I've turned my back on you. I come to you now and I repent of all the unrighteousness in my life. I turn away from it all now and I turn to you. Your word says that if I come to you in repentance, that you will forgive all my sin. Lord, I come to you now. Thank you, Jesus, for shedding your blood and for dying on the cross for me. To pay the price in full for all my sin. I receive you now as my Lord, my Savior. I receive your blood that washes me and to make me clean from all sin. Jesus, from this day forward, you are my Lord. Lead me and guide me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, so that I can walk with you every day of my life. Thank you for receiving me and forgiving me. I am washed. I am clean. I am born again. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for your Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, for those that have said this prayer this morning. God, you are the one. The power and the anointing is you. Lord, as we spoke and prayed this prayer this morning, I pray, Father, that, Lord, you become real in the lives of those that have just said this prayer. They have come believing in you. They have walked into your kingdom. Father, I pray, Lord, I pray your blessing and your protection upon them. I pray, Lord, as they continue, as they go into a place of prayer, as they continue to read the Bibles, I pray, Father, that, Lord, you will watch over them, that you will guide them by your Spirit. Wherever they are right now, in the lounge room or in their offices or wherever they are watching this live stream today, I pray that, Lord, angels are celebrating in heaven right now because of one soul. Whether it's one soul, two souls, 10 souls, 100 souls, I pray, Father, and I thank you, Lord, for their lives this morning. Lord, I pray over the people this morning. I pray your word and praying this amazing, wonderful prayer that God, you yourself, gave to Moses to give to Aaron to pray over the people. Lord, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance toward you and give you peace. Shalom, shalom. That there is nothing missing in your life, nothing broken in your life. Everything has been restored, made whole, well, complete, Lord, in your spirit, your spiritual walk, your family, your relationship, your jobs, your blessings, your provision, your healing, your health. Everything has been restored, made whole, well, by the power of the Holy Spirit this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Everybody said, Amen. Hallelujah. Shake your friend's your family's hands and give them a high five and give them a big hug. And listen, if you're giving your heart to Christ this morning, I want you to contact us. Send a message to our website or our Facebook page and just tell us what has happened so that we can connect with you. We love to connect with you. And if you're living far away, we love to connect with you. And we hope to see you one day, whether it's in this life or the next, when we see each other in heaven again. But I pray that God has spoken to you through his word. And I pray that the word of God has already encouraged you and caused you to be challenged this morning. Amen.